and you're listening to the Texas Standard. Sometimes technological transformations can have such an effect on everyday life, well, it's hard to remember how things used to be. Take, for instance, paper maps. Paper maps. Remember keeping them stuffed in the glove box or the side pockets of the doors of your car? Nowadays, many of us just give Google an address and off we go. Well, though he admits his own sense of direction is lacking, Bill Kilday says he never saw this coming. Kilday was part of a team in Texas, which years ago was a little tech startup named Keyhole. They had a cool idea, but they didn't know where the road would eventually take them. A buyout by Google and the start of Google Maps as we know it. That journey and its unlikely destination is the subject of Kilday's new book, Never Lost Again.
I should say that I've had a friend say that I should have put an asterisk on that that said never lost again, asterisk, unless I run out of battery power. Yeah, there is still those times that we do get lost when we,
don't we all? Yeah.
when our phones run out of juice. But really the origins of it for me go back to University of Texas in 1985 and meeting a guy who I end up working for the next 33 years, essentially. And he's a guy named John Hankies from Cross Plains, Texas. And I was lucky enough to meet him at Jester Dorm the day before school in 1985. And he's gone on to start many companies, including a company called Keyhole in 1999, which got acquired by Google in 2004 and became really the foundation of Google Maps and Google Earth.
Now, in those early years, were you thinking GPS? Were you thinking geolocation, that sort of thing at the time? Or what was the big idea in the beginning?
Well, I think that there were a lot of technologies that were starting to converge around 1999 and 2000, GPS being one of them. And the fact that there were GPS chips being put into phones for the first time in, you know, 1999, 2000. It was actually a government regulation that required the wireless carriers and handset device manufacturers to put GPSs in phones because you had situations that had never happened before with lots of emergencies, lots of people in distress, and they weren't tethered to a landline anymore. They were out in the middle of the country. They were on a trail. They were in some place that they didn't know where they were.
So sort of the 911 thing, right?
They were calling 911 and saying, I'm help. I'm lost, or I'm hurt, or I'm, you know, being followed. And they didn't know where they were. And so the government really mandated that, and that started to roll out in 2000, 2001, where these GPS chips were in phones.
In the beginning, though, was this about locating yourself on the globe, or was this more about navigating, getting from one place to the next?
It was really to go back to the origins of it was really about exploration and discovery of the world around you, and sort of to create this 3D model of the planet that had never been done before. And this concept that you could transport yourself virtually to any place on the planet, it would be something that was fun for consumers. It would spur all sorts of new commercial uses that we didn't really know how it would be used, but we knew that it would be something that would be awesome and great.
Well, that's an interesting thing because we often think about awesome and great in let's just take Google Maps as we currently know it. Mm-hmm. Awesome and great to be sure, but where's the money coming from, right? I mean, so were you guys thinking, we can get rich on this. We can make some money here.
Well, certainly for a startup that is trying to attract capital, you have to go in with a plan that says, here's how we're going to make money.
So what was that big dream?
That initial plan was to sell it to consumers, that it would be this experience that was so awesome that everyday users would just pay for it.
You wanted to have fun.
You wanted to have fun. You wanted to be, if you ever sat in the window seat of an airplane and looked out the window, this was for everybody that ever sat in a window seat. You know, you wanted to that experience of flying over the land and to be able to transport yourself anywhere on the planet. So really the initial commercial aspects of it were just about creating an experience that people would pay for in order to explore the globe. So it was a subscription model to start. The model kept us alive, barely, until Google took notice of the company in 2004.
Yes, when I think big bucks, I'm thinking Google bucks.
Yes. Google took note, and specifically it was Sergey Brin, one of the founders of the company, who famously in a product review sort of swiped the projector cable from a product manager and started flying around the planet in keyhole software, and overtook this conference room full of Google executives, and they were leaning forward in their chairs like giddy school children screaming to have their house address typed in so that they could see it for themselves. Yeah. And so at the end of that meeting, Sergey famously said, "I think we should buy this company." And he did.
But I think we have to acknowledge something else too, and that's the Pandora's box effect. We talk a lot about privacy today, and we haven't really begun to go in depth about how this has changed our sense of privacy, our sense of place, our sense of our expectations about, our phones keep up with where every place we go. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement takes advantage of that for obvious reasons, for better and some would say for worse. Mm-hmm. I wonder when you think about opening up that box, how you reflect on that today.
Certainly. And I think that people answer that differently depending upon what company you're talking about. And it's a matter of trust and who do you trust with this data. And I think that Google thinks about that trust and works very hard to make what they're tracking and what data they have very transparent and allows you to see that and to opt out of it if you so choose.
Right.
I think on balance, most people are trusting of the Google brand and they trust the people that are in charge of it. Not everybody, but I think that in general, that's something that the company works hard to maintain. And I think that that manifests itself in the way that Larry and Sergey have approached the business.
Never lost again. The Google mapping revolution that sparked new industries and augmented our reality. The author is Houston-born Bill Kilday. He lives in Austin these days. Good to see you, and thank you so much for coming in. Congratulations on the book.
Thanks for having me.